All right, after a brief interlude, as we have, for the holiday's sake, deviated from our norm dissertation, we return today to our document. Everybody repeat after me, scripture distinctions. Actualization by God's decree in eternity. From manifestations in time. These are the things that we must know, we must comprehend, we must be aware of, that we are not walking by sight, but we're walking by what?
Faith.
And the faith is in what God has said, which when we dwell there, it moves us away from our resonations and the things that we construe as we look at the world and we look at the things that are around us. Amen. So it's a faith walk, not a sight walk. We're not looking at the things that are being seen, that are being manifested, but at the thing that God has decreed, and that's where the real action is.
Amen.
Now we had moved to to section 4, almost through this document. As we said earlier, we hope to complete this, and this is for those that may be listening. We will move through section 4, and then we complete section 5 by the time we have moved into the summer month recess. Now, everybody got part 4? Repeat after me, reviewing the temporary worldly. From the eternal heavenly. In other words, we're looking down instead of around. Get a better view looking down. So we're not looking down. We're not looking around in it. You know, as I earlier made mention of the news conference yesterday regarding the unfortunate incident in Arizona. How many times did he say, we don't know? Which is the truth. But that's how life is. So many things, when you look around in it, we don't know and we can't know. Because the answer is not in the essence of time and time occurrences. But it is in eternality. So the eternal intention holds the key to what is going on and what is happening. God has decreed in his wisdom in eternality all things that exist. That's including all occurrences and happenings. They already exist.
Amen.
In God's decree, in God's saying. Thing that is appearing is not coming from what is seen, but from what is said. Let's turn to page 104 in your document there. Hopefully everybody has this document. If not, as we said, I hope that everyone gets this manual, which represents 5 years of ministry and 4 years that we have completed and the fifth year that we shall complete between now and the summer. Actually, let's turn to page 103. Now, Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. Also, we're going to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is a very unique context. And it gives many of the answers to the I don't knows. As to why things are happening. And it's strange, every time something happens, someone says, where is God? And why didn't he stop this? Why is God allowing this? Why doesn't he, you know, keep everything peaceful and in check? It's almost like, hey, this is the way this is supposed to be. Well, Romans chapter 8 tells you that the way things are going down, exactly the way they are designed in depraved creation. Things are supposed to go wrong, not go right. Woo, Pastor. Let's go with what is said, what the Word of God actually conveys. And that's why we get so disappointed and some of us are so frustrated. We are looking for a perfect environment in depraved creation. Wasn't designed that way. And we'll deal with that this morning. All right. Everyone has Romans chapter 8. Well, Brother Deacon, let's start. Everyone else, let's start from verse. I think I'll go up to 16 first to sort of give. It gives our stabilized status. Our status is one of stability. Do you believe you're saved this morning? Amen. Do you believe you're safe this morning?
Amen.
Because you do not have the comprehensiveness of salvation or what saved means if you do not also understand that you're safe. Well, I don't know about that. You know, I was riding along the other day and this somebody came out from this to the intersection and they boom hit me. How can I be safe? And this, you have to understand the essence of when Paul is writing in the 8th chapter of Romans, he is speaking about the essence of you where? In Christ. In the body of Christ. How long have you been in the body of Christ?
Eternally.
From eternity. Before you were ever encapsulated and placed into these vile bodies for a brief period of testimony,
right.
You were some position in the body of Christ. The new creation. The new creation came before the expression of the old man. The new man was first. The old man was manifested afterwards. The new man is solidly entrenched in eternity. The old man is struggling through time. The new man is who you are even more than who you are resonating with right now in the old man. The new man is eternal. The old man is passing away. Slowly but surely. Withering away. Amen. Pain hit me so hard the other morning, it woke me up. I said, now what in the world is this? And you know, it took a little while for that thing to... and it said, hey, I'm your new partner. The other day, arthritis started hurting me so bad I went home, and I didn't come out the next day. Well, you can do that when you're retired, okay? So the old man, he's withering away. So the essence of our life, when we say our life, we're talking about the essence of eternality and who we were according to Ephesians 1 and 4 as he chose us in him, what? Before creation. All right, Brother Deacon, and let's start reading. Everyone has Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Say amen.
We're reading from the King James Version, Romans chapter 8, beginning the 16th verse. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified
together. And so the suffering that we go through for this short period, it is nothing to be compared with the gloriousness that shall be revealed in us. No comparison. I don't want to hear that. I want my bills paid. Listen. We have to understand how depraved creation operates and what God's purpose is. I think conveyed in Bible study the other night, your life is not about you.
Amen.
Your reason for living is not about you.
Amen.
You do not have a reason within yourself for living.
Yes.
You move, you breathe, you operate according to God's pleasure.
Yes. Amen.
That's the purpose of your life. And the sooner we understand this, oh, I know what's being thrown at us across the pulpits. Your goal and your plan, and God is waiting for you to please him, and that way then he'll help you realize your goal and your plan. It's like we have agendas, but God doesn't have one. No. God has the agenda. Paul, as he spoke to the Athenians of Mars Hill, he said, in him we move, in him we live, in him we are. And so the essence of who you are is attributed to the purpose of God in having placed you in him.
Amen. Yes.
All right, read.
Verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
All right, verse 19.
For the earnest expectation.
Yes, now here we go. Oh, my God. Read.
For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God.
What is this about? Verse 20.
For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who have subjected the same in hope.
All right. Now, verse 21.
Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption.
There it is.
Into the glorious liberty of the children of God.
Now, you think he's just talking about improving physicality? Improving nature, you know, taking crime out of society. No. The baby has to be dissolved with the bathwater. How is sin eliminated? Eliminating the flesh. flesh, all physicality shall be dissolved. Let's go to the Greek, Brother Deacon, for time's sake, because we're way behind this morning. I'm going to run a little over and tell you that right now. Let's start with verse 19.
Now reading from the interlineal Greek text, Romans chapter 8, 19th verse. For the anxious watching of the creation.
The anxiety. The anxiety of creation. What?
The revelation of the sons of God is eagerly expecting.
Now, here it speaks of God's design and plan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Our problem is we have designs and we have plans that conflict with the master plan. That's why we're not happy.
Come on, Pastor. Preach it. That's right.
That's why we're disgruntled.
Amen.
That's why we are frustrated.
Amen.
Because what we want is not on the agenda.
Amen. Amen.
If it's not designed, it can't be. Verse 20.
For to vanity
the
creation was subjected.
And notice that is in the passive voice, aorist tense.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
If it's in the passive tense, in the passive voice, who subjected it?
God.
Who subjected creation to the way things are flowing?
God.
All the chaos.
God.
All the destruction.
God.
But yet, it's not random. You know, the news we hear yesterday, they called that it was like a random shooting. He had one target, but other people were just there. So one doctor just happened to come by to say hello to his friend. And he had just left Mass. Just left church.
Yeah.
That confuses some of us. It's almost like nobody's in charge. Oh, some theologian's going to say, don't blame God. Whenever you hear someone say that, they do not understand sovereignty. Everybody says sovereignty.
Sovereignty.
God's right and purpose. Does he have a right to set the agenda?
Yes,
for purpose. Our problem is we're prioritizing time and physicality. What did Paul just say in the verse before in 18? He said, I calculate that the suffering of this present time cannot be compared. In another place, we have 2 Corinthians 4 and 17, and he was doing the comparison. He uses the Greek construction there, cut ephibeline, east ephibeline. Ephibeline can be transliterated hyperbole. Or he takes one hyperbole and put it on top of another. In other words, where we're going is so great. You shouldn't complain about where we are.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
But too many people, God's people, they're not concerned about where we're going. They're only concerned about where we think we are. And that doesn't make sense, because wherever you think you are is temporary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nothing on that matrix stays the same.
Mm-hmm.
Everything changes from day to day.
Amen.
And the essence of it is that it all comes to a screeching halt. And time would be no more. And the things in time would be no more. Oh, and they're not going to preach this from the pulpits. But if it's there, we're going to preach it. If it's there, we're going to teach it. It's for a period. Time is but a drop in the ocean. Your existence is focused in eternality. The essence of who you are in Christ far outweighs who you are in the flesh. If that's not true, then it's just tear these pages right out, take them right out, and let's go on back across the Red Sea. You know, round the walls of Jericho. Let's get with Samson and fight the Philistines. That's what's being preached. Let's all anxiously await the New Jerusalem. And while you're doing that, you're missing out on the fact that you are Son of God, heir of God, heir of that which belongs to Christ right now. And this is why Paul writes in the 18th verse of the 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and said, we're not looking at the things what?
Being seen.
What are we looking at?
Things not being seen.
Why? Because the things that is being seen are what? What does temporary mean? Not long. And the things that not seen, the eternal essence of who we are. If you were to walk up to one of your closest friends, and hopefully it wouldn't be nobody here in this church that you would say this to, and say, oh my God, Jesus is coming. And they say, oh hallelujah, instead of looking at you like you're crazy. Because our focus is earthbound.
It sure is. It sure is.
I'm not saying don't go out and said to young people, go on to school, get yourself education and so forth. I did. And your family, and do the best you can in relationship as we move through time. We said, that's not your priority.
Amen.
We're not being taught this from the pulpits.
Amen.
This life is not your priority. We're not saying it's not that it's unimportant. We're saying, in honor of importance, it is secondary to the essence of who you are in Christ. And who you are in Christ is embodied in the essence of eternality. Eternity is more important than time. Any of us could be taken out of here at any day, at any time. Do you know that? Has God done us wrong? When we were talking the other night, I think there was another night in relationship to John and Paul. Did John didn't go through a lot of things the other ones went through. He lived to be an old man. Died on the island. He was isolated, but Paul was executed, beheaded as a young man. So I didn't know he was a young man. In chapter 7, was that chapter 7 when they stoned Stephen? He was a young man, right? Huh? And that had to be, Christ was on earth, what, according to 33 and a half years, something like that. And so this, he was a young man after 33. By AD 60, he was gone. Had a hard life. One time he wrote and said, we even despaired, and that's when he was, the flesh had started tickling. God rescued him though. Oh my God. God have a way of rescuing our minds.
Oh, yes, he does.
Even if he doesn't rescue our situations around, he rescues our minds. It is the renewing of your mind. Not move the mountain. He uses the mountain to renew our minds. Not even about that mountain. Here Paul is focusing on what God is doing, not upon what he was doing. That's our problem. We're more focused on what we want and what we're doing instead of what God wants and what he's doing. You know, you used to hear choir saying, have your way, Lord. Have your way. Do what you want to do. You don't mean that. What we really mean is, Lord, do what I want you to do. All the things that he went through life. One could look at his life and say, hey, he had it better before he met Jesus. He had money before he met Jesus. And never had any money after he met him. Paul was a young man, so we can presume that he had his health before he met Jesus. And he never had good health from that point on. And prayed 3 times, and the Lord said, Paul, leave that thing alone. That's not what I have for you. Our problem is we rebel and we argue against God's agenda. And so whatever's going on out there, around you, or to you, or with you, amen, it is God's plan. And God's will. You're saying, is God's will for somebody to get killed? How did Jesus die? Oh, I forgot. God didn't have anything to do with that. The devil.
The determinate will of God. Yes. Amen.
Yeah, Peter. Gave that answer. He said, "Do the determined will of God. You took him, but you didn't take him through your strength. God enabled you to take him.
That's right.
For his purpose.
That's right.
As Joseph in the Old Testament said to his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good.
Yeah.
So everything that's gone down, we say, whoa, that is so awful, so terrible. Amen. And then we get confused when we read, and everything, all things, he worketh all things together for what?
For good.
For good. For those that love the Lord. See, he's working. How can any good come out of it? I can't see it. That doesn't mean it's not good because I can't see it. No. Finish it up, Brother Deacon. Man, I tell you what, if I had 2 or 3 hours to preach, we could. Look at those looks. All right. I got the message. go ahead.
Verse 20 again of the 8th chapter of Romans.
Uh-huh.
For to vanity the mm-hmm. creation was subjected.
Mm-hmm.
Not willingly,
mm-hmm.
but because of the subjecting.
All right, I'll finish it up with 21.
In hope. Because even itself, the
now,
creation...
Now, when you say we subjected it in hope, he's talking about eternal hope. There's no hope within the thing itself. We look at things and we try to reason or get the purpose of the thing within itself. And that's not where the purpose lies. The purpose is not within itself. Every hope is an eternal hope. What we need to start to focus on is eternal hope, eternal intentions,
amen.
Eternal purpose.
Amen.
Too many of God's people are sitting and listening to messages that tell them if you do A, B, C, and D, uh-huh. you're going to get things to turn out just like you want them to. And that's not what our gospel teaches.
No.
Finish that up. Verse 21.
Verse 21.
Mm-hmm.
Because even itself, the creation, will be freed from the slavery of corruption
mm-hmm.
to the freedom of the glory of the children of God.
So here, when you have this exchange of what we call transformation, it is not in the sense of purifying physicality.
Oh, no.
Or human nature.
No.
Of the prayed creation. No, there is not a change. It is an exchange.
That's the word.
Now let's go to our document 103, where it says Romans 8:21 that he just read.
Amen.
Let's go through that right quick. I'll be down in about 20 minutes. I realize that I started late. Everybody got to say amen. Romans 8:21 states, quoting, because also creation itself will be free from the bondage of corruption to the freedom and the glory of the children of God. Just read this verse is conveyed in reference and looking forward to being glorified.
Mm-hmm.
Not a perfect creation here on earth. Look what he's saying here. Being glorified together with Christ. The reference Romans chapter 8 verse 15 through 17. Hence, creation itself, as based on hope, will be free from the bondage of corruption unto the freedom of the glory of the children of God. That's transferring physicality to what? Spirituality. The verb that we have here, rendered will be freed, is conveyed in the future tense and passive voice, denoting that God, that in God's appointed time, manifestation-wise, he will set free, liberate, and unfurl the creation from its bondage of corruption to which he manifestly subjected it. That is done through an exchange. The Greek phrase rendered the bondage of corruption denotes the slavery's several abject conditions which accomplished the corruption and ruin to which salvation was, that is, creation was subjected. When the due time of manifestation arrives, in time, you notice you go to the end of Revelation and you see all things, old things resolved, and this is forest earth, and you see a new heaven, a new earth, and so forth and so on. Amen. In the essence of eternality, when he says, New doesn't mean renovated. It's the difference between taking that which is old and renovating it and new. Even the new Jerusalem is not the old Jerusalem renovated. Everybody said new means new. The Greek preposition that is rendered unto is most commonly used with the accusative case. What's the accusative case? Direct object, to express the idea of unto the end of. In other words, the purpose of God's going somewhere with everything that's going down. And he has given us a glimpse. So that we should be happy, not confused and frustrated. This context depicts the liberation of creation as belonging to the glory. Oh my God. All to the glory of God.
Yes.
Well, I can't see that. You'll never see that looking around in this mess.
Amen.
You can only see it looking down. The glory of God.
Yes.
Reigns. Which is associated with our glory. The glory of the children of God. Look what he's saying here. This denotes, as already affirmed, that the glorification of the sons of God and the liberation of creation will manifest simultaneously. The true characteristics of eternal viewing, everybody say eternal viewing, embody God's people repose. That is relaxation, peacefulness, and serenity, in basking in the imprisonment of remaining peacefully therein. Right now, while all of this going on, you can be at peace. No, God didn't have to change your situation for you to be happy, for you to be at peace. This is more useful than human labor in attempting to determine and control things. The more one is shackled, the more such is free. That one says shackled, I mean imprisoned to the things of God. The more you're imprisoned to the things of God, the more you're free.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love personified grants the grace of liberating imprisonment. What do you mean liberating imprisonment? How can you put the word liberating imprisonment in, when you use the word imprisonment and you're talking about confined? There is the liberty of being confined in Christ. Being imprisoned in Christ. Paul understood that when he wrote those letters from prison. And he said, I'm a prisoner of what? Prison of Christ. Prison of the Lord. He was in a jail, physical jail cell. He wasn't, Paul wasn't, that's not where his concern was. I'm the prisoner of the Lord. If you're a prisoner of the Lord, you're free.
Yes. Hallelujah.
From the bondage of depraved creation. You're talking crazy. And if, yeah, that's because that's the way, that's the mindset that has been formed from the pulpits.
Amen.
That focuses and prioritizes the thing that is seen. The here and the now. Where you live, where you work, what you're doing, what your relationships are. These are the things that are coming from the pulpits. As the prioritized focused. But that's not what our contract is saying. Do we go with our contract? Or do we go with the Mosaic contract or even the new contract? No, the grace contrite. Look at this. Love personified grants the grace of liberating imprisonment, which qualifies, which qualities assure God's undying commitment no matter what trials befall us. However humanly perceived, praises and thanks ensue instead of complaints. Also, one does not embrace vain complacency in the imagined success exercised in personal desires, but entrusts one's entire life at the disposition of God's loving providence. Lastly, nothing viewed in this earth or this world can sadden us in manifestation of what actually is depicted. But considering reversals and construing happiness were in the purpose of everything decreed in God's perfect and glorious will. Romans 12 and 2, Colossians 4 and 12. And I know this runs counter to what's being preached in many pulpits, amen. But let's go with what God is saying rather than what seems to be. Even what seems to resonate with you. Abiding grids of receptive communications must not be viewed in the so-called sensible fervor of mankind's goodwill and right intentions. We'll deal with that in the perfecting this afternoon. There is no such thing as mankind's goodwill, but we'll deal with that. Amen. Look at this. Sensible fervor of mankind's goodwill and right intentions. How far are we going to get on that? Nowhere. Unless you want to go backwards. But strictly in view of the scripture's declarations. Hence, the motives of human feelings must not reside in obsequiousness. What is that? That's the subservient compliance to what is humanly acceptable. But in deference to heeding divine derivations. Everybody say divine derivations. What is derived divinely? Oh. Yes. You know, like the word of God is saying one thing, and of course, because it doesn't resonate in my human mind, I'd be just say, hey, that must not, something must be wrong with that. You know, and we use ourselves as the mental pole. Mm-hmm. Oh. Even the Old Testament tell you not to lean not to your own understanding. That's it. We'll end with this today. In lieu of blindly approaching most things pseudo-officially, in secular aspects, a purely sacramental in the religious aspect. What is sacrament? When you do something physical thinking you're going to receive something spiritual for it. You know, we're pushing the buttons. You know, if you do this right, and God is pleased with you, then he'll give you the desires of your heart. You know. Well, it says something. Where are you reading from? Yeah, the desire of your heart aligned with his word.
There you go. Amen.
Look at this. Here are the questions that we consider. And I want you to take out here with you today. Is creation detached from its creator in any sense? Can the creature operate independently from the creator? In any sense. In any way. Every breath you take is because God gives it to you. And you know what? When he gives it, he requires it right back.
Amen.
You inhale, he gives it to you. Quickest way to fall out in the floor and say, Lord, I'm not going to give this back. I'm going to keep it. got to exhale. And he has to give you the next one. So if we are that dependent, where does this sense of independency or autonomy comes from that makes us think that we chart the course of our destiny? The only thing you have a free will to do is to be depraved, and that's because you are programmed for depravity. And every time any of us do anything that's good, it's because he has what?
Overruled.
He has overruled what you would do and put in what you should. My God.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Thank God.
Number two. Are there any other will? Are there any other wills in addition to God's will contributing to his pleasure except in him? What did Paul say in this same context here in Romans? Said, the flesh does not have the ability to please God. You do not in the flesh have the ability to please God. And your will and my will, not about anything. But it starts with salvation. And that's what's got us messed up. And I got one video I'm going to show this afternoon and show you from a little children what has been placed in our brains etched into our spirits of thinking. Erroneous teaching. This is why taking so much time here, and we're saying get the document, go through it, because what we want to understand the difference between actualization by God's decree were in eternity from what manifestation in time. Salvation is not in time. Salvation is in eternity. In fact, nothing resides in time. It's only there for manifestation. And see, once we remove salvation out of time, as being acquired or obtained in time, we remove all human input.
That's it. Amen. Thank God. Oh, Lord. How to believe.
We take it off the table. In fact, if we could take the acquiring of salvation out of time, we clear the table as far as what? Denominational dogmas and doctrines. As to what you do and how you do. Remember, whatever got you in has got to keep you in. Whatever you did to, you said, well, you saved through your beliefs. So what if you stop believing? Where you backslid? And the most unnerving thing that I used to see as a child, those that backslide go out and they come back and have to get the Holy Ghost all over again. Backslide again, go out. Then I used to hear him say, "So get caught up there one time, can't get back." And that obscures what the word salvation means. Salvation means saved. Saved means what? Safe. You're not safe if you could go out and get caught out there and get annihilated. that's misusing the word safety and security. Number three, can attachments and our detachments determine in proximity or remoteness to God are attachments, or detachments, determined in proximity or remoteness to God. In Him. Colossians 1:16. All things were created what?
In him.
For Him. To Him. It's all about Him. Lastly, do frequent receptions and our rejections increase or decrease except in reverence of God's will? So what's going on? What's happening? What you do, what you don't do. What you can, what you can't. What you did, what you didn't. Are these things in Him, outside of Him?
In Him.
And we'll take up next week, but if you don't understand these things, life is getting ready to beat you up. You're going to be a very unhappy camper. You're going to be for long frustrated. And anything but stabilized. No confidence.
Amen.
He who has confidence in himself has no confidence.
Amen.
It's all about Him.
Oh.
The essence of Christ is what it's all about. And this is what we're praying will be resonated through the spirits of God's people. Is by Him, to Him, in Him. The essence of life is Christ. Repeat after me.
My life is
all about Christ.
All about Christ.
God bless you. We'll take it up.
Hallelujah. Amen.